All right, good afternoon. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would open wide our hearts and our minds and our spirits, Lord, to receive directly from you today. And we welcome the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit himself, to speak so deeply to us. God, we ask for deep, deep transformation inside of us today. Lord, we recognize that all change, all transformation, all life itself comes from you, comes from the cross, Lord, from the work of the cross. Just like what we sang, God, this last song, hallelujah, the one that set us free. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd make this real for every single one of us in this room this afternoon, that Jesus Christ is indeed our living hope. And you're the source of everything, and you're our all in all, Lord. And so we welcome you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The title of this message is Always Only the Cross. We're going to read this afternoon out of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. Paul and the false prophets, apostles. Let's read this together. I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to Christ so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. That just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may be somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached. Receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted. You put up with it easily enough. I was reading this passage this morning, and I felt like the Lord was speaking to me. Part of my own personal struggle is always figuring out, Lord, what do you want to speak to the congregation? What do you want to speak to the church today? I felt like every time the message should be prophetic, meaning that it's God's message to you, not something that I want to say. And so I was preparing one thing, and then I was going to scrap it, and then I read this again this morning. And so, anyway, so in this passage, it's talking about the Corinthian church, and Paul is talking about Paul and the false apostles, okay? I think around that time in the Corinthian church, there was a lot of different ideas going around. Some people were saying that there was no resurrection of the dead, meaning that there's no resurrection of Christ. Other people were putting up different false doctrine. And so Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's really saying, hey, look, guys, it seems that, you know, you got to stick to what the pure gospel is. He says, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, ooh, okay. Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. How do we receive transformation? I think that there's a lot of different ways today in our world and in society that we try to achieve transformation. And transformation is becoming, you know, a better version of ourselves, or becoming, maybe in a Christian context, is conforming more into the image of who God has created us to be. And I think that today in the church, there's a lot of influence from our culture and society into how we try to achieve transformation. And I want to share with you some of, you know, observations that I see today in the American church. utilizing intellectual, motivational, emotional means to change, influence, and grow the church without emphasizing the need for the church to pursue holiness, the cross, the filling of the Spirit. Out of the fear of being criticized or being offensive, we minimize the message of the cross, sin, repentance, and forgiveness. Moral relativity and the tolerance movement influencing the church to de-emphasize sin, confession, and repentance. I think oftentimes we live in a society today where it's saying that there's no such thing as right, there's no such thing as wrong. Everybody is entitled to believe what you want to believe, and you can't say that we're wrong. And this is the essence of moral relativity. And I feel like sometimes as a church and as believers, when we see that culture is moving this way, it's almost as if we're afraid to say there's such thing as right and wrong, there's such thing as sin. And I think one of the ways that my heart kind of is uncomfortable, it breaks, is to see how the church is being influenced to de-emphasize sin. And when you de-emphasize sin, then it's essentially saying that there's no such thing as right, there's no such thing as wrong. And if there's no need to change sin, then you eliminate the need for the cross. And if you eliminate the need for the cross, then there's no need for confession and repentance. And so another thing that I felt like in the church today that we see is that it's almost as if the message of the cross becomes too cliche. It's like, I've heard that message before. I know that Jesus died for me. And it becomes almost like, I heard it a million times and it's old. Can't we talk about something else? It's almost as if the message of the cross is not edgy enough. It's not cool enough to draw in the crowds to church. And so oftentimes we'll end up speaking a lot of messages that are nice, and it's nice sounding, but it almost eliminates the core concepts of the cross and repentance and forgiveness and sin. And I feel like today, maybe if you can relate, it's like the prophets are afraid to be killed for speaking out or taking a stand for Jesus in our society. 1 Kings 18 is talking about Elijah. And Elijah shows up and he meets one of the prophets, Obadiah. And Elijah tells Obadiah, "Tell Ahab I am coming to see him." And Obadiah's response is one of fear. He's like, if he finds out, or if I tell him that you're alive and that you're here, he's going to kill me, all right? And so Obadiah is fearing for his life. And I feel like sometimes that's us for believers. It's, if I take a stand for Jesus in this culture, if I say that I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, I believe that there is a heaven, that there is a hell. It's almost as if we're afraid that people are going to criticize us for being too religious, for being too old-fashioned, for being too old-school. And some of these observations that I notice is that it takes away from the message of the cross. But today I want to say to us that it's always only the cross. Today, for the Christian church today, we cannot eliminate the message of the cross. If we eliminate the message of the cross, our entire meaning of why we exist as the church today or as Christians is completely erased. You know, it's nice to talk about other things, and it's marginally beneficial to talk about how we can develop this and church growth strategies and, you know, how we can grow intellectually and things like that. But if we do not come back to the core concept of Jesus Christ died for me, and the blood of Jesus is enough for me, and the Holy Spirit empowers me to live a Spirit-driven life, then I think that we've missed it. So always only the cross. Only through the cross are we completely saved. Only through the cross are we fundamentally changed. Only through the cross are we totally and holistically healed. Only through the cross are we given the greatest hope. And I want to talk a little bit about each of these in detail. So it says, only in the cross, only through the cross are we completely saved, meaning that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Okay. Let's read this passage from 1 Corinthians together. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does Jesus save you from? Sin.
Okay? So let's just look at this passage by itself. Jesus Christ saves us from sin. What else does Jesus Christ save us from? Death, right? He gives us eternal life. But I want to say today that Jesus Christ not only saves us from fundamentally being a sinner and fundamentally spiritual death, but Jesus has come to bring us life for our entire being. He's come to save the entirety of who we are. So did Jesus Christ in the work of the cross, is that available for your mind? Is that available to redeem your mind? Is the cross available to redeem your physical body? Is the cross available today to redeem your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions? Yes, the cross is a complete saving package for us. That's why we believe if someone is physically ill, that we can pray for you and believe that you are going to be healed. Not because we worked up motivation or not because we just, you know, did some, what's the word? We psyched ourselves out and then suddenly you magically got healed. No, the ability to be physically healed is available through the cross. We are completely saved. There's no other way that you can save yourself except through Jesus Christ. And that goes on a macro level for your entire spiritual being, and that goes on a micro level from day to day. So Jesus Christ is not just my Savior 20 years ago when I accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my Savior today. When I'm stuck in a situation that I don't know how to respond, I don't know what to do, Jesus Christ is my Savior. That He can offer me help and just tell me, maybe you should do it this way. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's Jesus Christ being my Savior today. When I'm stuck in a situation like for job, in my career, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this problem. Or maybe I'm a student academically. Man, my grades have been dropping. I don't know how to change the situation. I want to say today that Jesus Christ is Savior even then. So Jesus Christ not only saved you from your fundamental sinful status, Jesus Christ came to save you for every bit and entire and piece of your being. Do you believe it? Amen. I think too many times when we encounter problems, we try to fix it ourselves. Isn't that true? Some of us are go-getters, and that works to our disadvantage, all right? It's like, I see something wrong, all right? I see something that is not right, and immediately my initial reaction is, what can I do to fix this problem? But how come we're never asking Jesus Christ be my Savior in this moment? Because Jesus Christ can achieve far more than you can do on your own ability. It's like, maybe I'll try harder. Maybe I'll just try to make more money. Maybe I'll just try to talk to people and I'll read books and I'll go to counseling sessions and I'll try to do all these things. But have we forgotten that Jesus Christ is my Savior? That only through the cross are we completely saved. Only through the cross are we fundamentally changed. Let's read Titus 3:5-7 together. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that has been having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How do you change? By what method do you change yourself? One time I was at a church in Southern California, and my pastor said this quote. He asked us this question. He said, who's responsible for spiritual growth in your life? And then we were all kind of quiet, and he said, you are. And so for a couple years, I walked around thinking that I am responsible for my spiritual growth. That's only partially true, because who is responsible for change in your life, for spiritual growth? It is fundamentally the work of the Holy Spirit that changes you, right? Only the Holy Spirit can change you fundamentally. Only through regeneration and the cross can you fundamentally be changed from sinner to forgiven. And as you walk out the process of sanctification every single day, it is the Holy Spirit that changes and sanctifies you completely. Now, that doesn't mean that we're just sitting around being couch potatoes and eating chips and watching 450 seasons of Netflix, right? It means that we are pursuing holiness, but as you pursue holiness, it is Christ who changes you. Okay? So we are fundamentally changed and sanctified through the cross. There is no other way that you can be fundamentally changed except through the work of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you say, oh, why? I hate this part of me. Why am I like this? I'm just going to try to change, to become a better person, to become a different person. And that's where all the source of self-help comes from. It's like, if I go to Barnes & Noble's and I go to the self-help section, I can find the right book that will help me to change and be a better person. Does it work? Maybe at best marginally, but fundamentally, no. Unless you have understood the message of the cross, you will never be changed in your entirety. Sometimes we think that I just got to try harder. I just got to try harder not to be angry. I just got to try harder to not be such a lazy person. All right? It's not by trying harder. It's not by self-help. It's not by books, not by methods, not by strategies, not by going to seminars, not by doing self-awareness exercises, not by waking up earlier, not by your mind, your will, your emotions, not by ethos, pathos, logos, not by anything you can do, but only through the work of the cross, only through the blood of Jesus, only through us bringing ourselves to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, are we fundamentally and completely changed. And this is a work of God Himself. Only through the cross are we completely saved. I went over that point. This button is kind of confusing. Only through the cross are we, fundamentally changed, sanctified. So, how am I transformed? I want to propose today that the Christ model, or how we do it, is through the cross and through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you go to fancy workshops and you pay $500 to attend this 3-day conference, and they'll give you 10-step plans to change your life. If you buy our book and you subscribe to our monthly thing, we'll teach you how to change your life from being who you used to be and being the most powerful version of yourself. Right? Scrap that. Jesus Christ, the cross, and through the Holy Spirit. Let me show you. Through the cross, my fundamental sinful status before God is atoned for through the work of Christ on the cross. I am daily sanctified from my sinful nature through His death and resurrection. How does the cross transform me? How does the cross transform you? It takes away your sinful status. It takes away your sinful status, and it continues to take away your sinful status. You're daily sanctified through Him. Let's read John 1:29 together. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ came down to earth to take away the sin of the world. That fixes you and justifies you in one moment and progressively. How does the cross transform me? Through the Holy Spirit. I am filled with the Spirit to be daily conformed to the image of Christ, my progressive and continual sanctifier. I yield to God's conviction to kill my flesh and live according to the Spirit, and I pursue a holy life. So you want to be transformed. You want to change. But let's see what happens when you go through the cross and when you go through the Holy Spirit. Your fundamental sinful state and all effects of sinful nature. What am I being transformed from? God is taking away our sexual immorality, our impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred for others, jealousy, anger and rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. Okay? And He's transforming us into the new identity with Christ. The results of a Spirit-filled life through the Spirit, as we are being sanctified, then it is the Holy Spirit Himself that manifests the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gracious, gentleness, self-control. I think the secular approach to this is to say, buy a book, set goals for yourself, try harder, and then you'll change. Only through the Spirit can we change fundamentally, and only through the Spirit can He change us. Maybe you can think about when you first accepted Jesus Christ. Hopefully your life looks different than what it is when you first accepted Christ. Isn't that right? Like today, when you look at yourself, say, wow, I'm not the same person that I used to be when I first accepted Jesus Christ. Why? Because you tried harder? No. Because it was God Himself and the Spirit that was changing your life. You don't have to try so hard to change your life. Just come to the cross every single day and be filled with the Holy Spirit, and He will do it. So, what is my role in the work of sanctification? How do I change? How is through the cross we are set free from slaves to sin to slaves to righteousness? Your role in the process of sanctification is that through the cross you are now able to pursue holiness, shun and abstain from evil, perfecting holiness out of a fear of God. What is God's role? He Himself sanctifies our total being, spirit, soul, and body. So let's read this together. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Who will do it? He will do it. What will He sanctify? Your entire spirit, soul, and body. So what am I saying? I'm saying that you don't have to try so hard to change yourself. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars on counseling, books, seminars, conferences to try to change yourself. Just come back to the cross. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you once again. And that goes back to what I'm saying originally. I feel like the church, we have to return to the cross. We cannot take away the message of the cross. Sometimes we think that as we get more edgy and developed as a church ministry, that we'll start speaking on a lot of cool and edgy things. One thing that I truly admire about Billy Graham is that there was only one message for his entire lifetime. And what was it? Come to the cross! Come to the cross! Lay down your sins, find new life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that's it. It's just that simple. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Through the cross, He sanctifies us. Only through the cross are we totally and holistically healed. Let's read Isaiah 53. Surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. How are you healed? Fundamentally and foundationally, only through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to heal you not only of your sins, but for your body too, for your physical body. If you look later in Matthew 8:17, Jesus went around and healed all kinds of sicknesses, and this was to fulfill the prophecy which was in Isaiah 53, verse 5, that says that He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. So the physical healing part of Jesus' ministry was to fulfill the promise that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins and to physically heal us. I think sometimes when we get sick, our immediate response is, let me take a couple Advil, let me take some medicine, let me try to do something in the flesh that will change it. It's not merely by medicine. It's not merely through counseling, through exercise, through therapy, not by surgery, not by morality, not by religion. Only through the work of grace of the cross are we totally and holistically healed. When I say holistically, I mean mind, body, spirit, and soul. Lastly, only through the cross are we given the greatest hope. I think so many of our society and culture is looking for meaning, especially for our young generation. They are just looking for a sense of purpose. Jesus Christ is the answer. Let's read 1 Peter 1:3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Jesus Christ, we just sang this afternoon, right? Jesus Christ is our living hope. What are we saying when we say that? We're literally saying that Jesus Christ gives us hope and purpose. It's like that old song, Because He Lives. You know how it goes? It says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. This is the prophetic song for our generation today. Because Jesus Christ lives, you can live too. I don't know for the younger ones, or some of us younger people, it's like we're always looking for, maybe if I get that next job, maybe if I get that next promotion, then I'll finally be happy. Maybe when I get married, I'll finally be satisfied. Maybe when I get that next Tesla Model 3, I'll be completely satisfied for the rest of my life. Maybe when I get the iPhone 10X, 10S, 4, whatever, I'll finally have it all. You know, maybe when I move up, when I upgrade my house and I get a bigger house and we'll finally have enough bedrooms for every single person, then we'll finally be happy. Maybe if I get a raise in my salary, it's all vanity. It's all idolatry. You will never be satisfied. You will never have a hope other than Jesus Christ. I don't know if you can relate, but sometimes I get kind of bored. And boredom, I think, affects us all. Like, I'm just at home, and just like, I have nothing to do. I'm so bored. What can I do to fill my time? I'll just watch more TV. Just watch more YouTube. This is my struggle. And I forget that Jesus Christ is my living hope, not just for salvation, but for every single day. A couple weeks ago, I prayed, God, make my life more exciting. And then there's a lot of exciting stuff that happened. You'll hear later at the end of the sermon. One of the things that are exciting that I get to witness. Jesus Christ is your living hope. Sometimes we feel like, I got to fill it with something. Got to fill it with some entertainment. I got to fill it with some video games. But inside, you know that it's empty. It's like, can I say to you today that that hole is what Jesus Christ should be, your living hope? May it be something more than what we sing on a Sunday afternoon with some words. May it satisfy the deepest parts of our most inmost being. Jesus Christ is my living hope. I don't know if you have seen some of the news that's happening with the Christian church in China, but in China, especially over the past several years or so, there's been an immense crackdown on Christianity in China. With the new president, Xi Jinping, he's basically saying that Christianity is Westernization. And so because of that, there's just been a lot of more stricter rules. This past week, I received some pictures and videos of literally cranes and people taking down the cross in the churches in China. And they're burning the cross. They're ripping it off the walls. They're forcing the Chinese believers to hang a picture of the president and the Chinese flag right next to the cross. And when I saw it, my heart was breaking, and I was like, man, number one, it's like, look at these Chinese believers that are sticking through it, and they're remaining strong because they truly believe that the cross is worth something. And number two, look at how much the government hates the power of the cross. I believe it's not just political, but it's spiritual too. It's a spiritual warfare that they're trying to crack down on the cross. And then sometimes I look at our American church today is how we don't even value the message of the cross anymore. And I'm just like, it's so sad. It's like, how come we forgot the message of the cross, repentance and forgiveness? And it's like, we lost the value of it somewhere. I'm going to read this passage from you from 1 Corinthians. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. When I was reading this, I was like, wow, Paul, arguably one of the greatest or the greatest apostle in the Bible. You think that, Paul, tell me the secrets. What are the truths of the trade? Tell me your methods and your strategies. You would think that Paul would say, okay, because Paul's quite a wordy person, right? And he'd just give you another letter for you to read about what to do, right? But no, he says this, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's like, really, Paul? That's your strategy? Jesus Christ and him crucified? Give me something more. Give me some 10-step program. Give me some psychological statistics and some surveys and stuff so that we can look at stuff and try to figure out how we can better grow the church, have more believers, reach the lost. And this is all Paul's saying. I knew nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I feel like if you reverse the words, it's pretty much a good description of our church today. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I came with eloquence and human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. I resolved to know everything while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you with a lot of strength and personal charisma. My message and my preaching was with wise and persuasive words, and to show you what a great preacher I am, so you can go, wow, share that on YouTube. And not much of the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might rest on human wisdom and not God's power. We got to reverse it today. I want to say that it is the foolishness of the cross. It is the foolishness of the message of the cross that will ever save us, and that's enough. Daily come before the Lord in confession. Daily confess your sins. Allow Jesus Christ to transform you. Allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify you every single day, and that's enough. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room. You don't have to be the most intellectual. You don't have to be the most self-aware. All you need to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. All you need to know is how to come before the Lord in humility and brokenness and say, Jesus, I need you, I need you, I need you. And God is faithful. He will do it. God himself will sanctify your mind, body, spirit, and soul. Only the cross. One of the things, when I go back and I said, God, make my life more exciting, right? One of the things that I have the privilege of witnessing is when people turn to Jesus Christ. The most exciting people to be around is who? Those that just accept Jesus for the first time. It's the wonder and the excitement and the, why didn't anyone tell me Jesus was this good? And sometimes when you're a Christian for too long, you forget that. And you forget, oh yeah, God is pretty good. But I wanted to invite Danny to come and share for a couple of minutes just what God has been doing in his life recently in these past couple of weeks. Can we welcome Danny?
Hi, I'm Danny, and I ran away from the Lord for a pretty long time. So there was this one period of my life that I basically from either 11 or 12, I got badly influenced by a group of friends in Vietnam, and then I got indulged into sin. So pretty much, I started watching pornography, and not so long later, I got into masturbation. Then I just kept getting more and more into sins until I turned 18. So let's fast forward a little bit. When I turned 18, I met Jenny, which is now my ex-girlfriend, because we just recently broke up. So we did things that we weren't supposed to do. And the thing about sinning is, every time I sin, I would feel really good. But after I did it, there would be this big word in my head saying, "Now what?" So I tried to resolve by myself, because I kept getting frustration, anxiety, and depression from it. Then I just trying to help myself out of it, but I couldn't do it. So I was bound to sin. And I remember 2 years ago, Pastor Ted talked about masturbation and pornography. The message stabbed me. I felt like that message hit me like a truck, but it wasn't good enough to change me until I recently got an encounter with God. So that encounter was so powerful that it snapped me back to my senses. So the first thing I did was I called up my ex-girlfriend and said, "Hey, we should talk. I got something to say." Then I told her that we should stop doing what we were doing. And the moment I said that, I felt like something was lifted up. I felt like a burden was lifted up out of my body, and I felt super happy. That was the first time I felt that I've done something right. And that void inside my heart was filled up with joy. And that night was also the first night that I picked up my Bible. And I just read through, I didn't even know what I was reading. But I started crying, and I kept sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And it was late at night, and I was so afraid that people would hear me. I was kind of like choking on tears, like kind of like that. So basically, I cried, and later on I found out that I just kept saying sorry to God. I said, "God, I am so sorry." Then as I am saying sorry, pretty much what I felt was so amazing. I felt joy, peace, and a sense of hope. And I finally said to him that I'm sorry. Please forgive me and let me return and walk with you again. So once I said that, God just basically took and stripped away my pride, my passion, my desires for all those dirty things. And until this point, I've never done it again. I never wanted to do it again. I just want to walk a life that pleases God. Basically that's what happened. And it changed me to the point that when my friend talked to me right now, they think that I'm crazy, because a couple of weeks ago, I was this guy who just talked about lifting weights and girls and sex. But now I talked about Jesus. I saw one of my friends at the gym, and I talked to him, and he was like, "Are you crazy? Is that you?" So that's how much I changed. So I told my parents. My dad got really surprised, and he got really happy at the same time. So pretty much, I never went through a seminar, and I never, like, I didn't even rely on anyone, but only the Holy Spirit and God saved me out of this, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you.
I want to give a time for us to respond this afternoon, and I just want us to take some time just to be before the Lord. As the worship team comes up and we respond with the response song, maybe in your heart, if there's anything that you need to lay before the Lord, say, "God, are there ways that I've overcomplicated things in my life, in my faith, and I just forgot the message of the cross or the power of the cross and forgiveness? You know, forgive me." And you just make your own commitment before the Lord this afternoon to recommit
to the simplicity of Jesus Christ in the gospel. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus loves you. And in the same way that he changed Danny's life, I believe that the Lord wants to change your life as well. And so if you feel like the Lord is tugging on your heart this afternoon to accept him for the first time as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come forward and we'll pray with you to accept Jesus. And during worship, you know, you're free to stay or stand in your seat. For those of you that feel the Lord's conviction and you want to come and kneel at the cross, you're welcome to do that as well. But just take this next moment just to respond to the Lord. So why don't we stand? I wonder if your work, Lord, that we are completely changed. And God, thank you. It is humbling to remember again that we can do nothing, God, but you can do everything. And so, Lord, this afternoon we want to respond to you and to recommit Jesus Christ as our highest hope, as our complete sanctifier, as our healer, our Savior. Again, during this moment, if you want to stand, you know, sit, if you want to come to the cross and kneel, you're welcome to do that. If you want to come forward to receive salvation, I'll be standing at the side and we can pray together. Let's sing that one more time, the chorus, hallelujah. You that you are our living hope, God. We praise you, God, that you have done it, Lord, that you are the one that transforms our lives inside and out, God. Only through the cross, only through the blood of Jesus can you take our lives and turn it around 180, God, to love you with our whole heart and to follow you and to be filled with the Spirit. And so, Lord, today we commit, God, as a body of Christ, as New Vine, that says that we lift up the cross in this place, Lord. We lift up the name of Jesus. We lift up his death and his resurrection and his blood and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to move forward. And so today, Lord, we invite the resurrection life of Jesus Christ to be in each one of us. And so I bless you today to be filled with the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. I bless you that as you are filled with Jesus and as you are filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you will witness the shame and the chronic unhappiness and the feelings of worthlessness to leave as you accept Jesus. I bless you that all depression flees in the name of Jesus. I bless you that you will constantly be seeing the light of Christ shining into your life, that all the darkness flees in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is enough. And we say always only the cross, God, always only you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, today we receive your life. We receive the newness. We receive the refreshing, renewing presence of God in each one of us. Yeah, for some of us, maybe you feel like you especially need that. The fresh water and just rushing water in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I bless you in Jesus' name to receive that. The rushing water and the life and the life through the Spirit. Bless you with the presence of God every day, wherever you walk, whether it's at work, if you're at home with your family, even in your waking and your sleeping, that you would sense the life of Christ in you. You would sense the living hope, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I bless you that Jesus Christ will become your total purpose and your mission. That Jesus Christ speaks his destiny and mission and kingdom calling into your life. Bless you to hear the whispers of the Lord speaking about your future, about how you walk with him, and the Lord will give you ideas and he will give you his leading and his guiding and how to walk into kingdom mission, into kingdom calling. So we thank you, Jesus, and we thank you for who you are and what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.